Hey guys, this is Nikki.
This is Sam.
Welcome back to So What? What's Next?
I spent the bag on the bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make a double. Listen, baby, with me you ain't never gotta struggle. I'm in the game 650. Catch a triple double. Watch it tumble, tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling. This is coming in. Keep on tumbling. Watch it tumble, tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling.
Hey Sam, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, friend. How you doing today?
You know, I get that we're coming back from the long weekend. I get that, you know, the concept of time is really off for everybody, but I have to keep reminding myself that today is Tuesday. And that this is the Mondayest Tuesday I have experienced in quite a while. Like, I'm really sitting over here like, God, it's Tuesday and tomorrow's going to be Wednesday. Like, yeah. What is time?
We're going to be Friday pretty quick, right back to football again. But before we even get into football, we both had a travel weekend. You went to New Orleans.
You went to Miami to watch your favorite team.
Yes, I did. And that seemed to have triggered people.
Okay. Can we talk about it? Because
people are weird.
And 36 and a couple of the other homies, like, everybody is getting it in more than one way and not in a good way, right? Like, what is going on?
Nikki, I've, like, my Twitter account has become the most polarizing thing. And I don't understand it. It's been funny to me because I realized now, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually, I have to start taking my time to really care about what I tweet now, because people are very triggered by somebody that doesn't really, I only have like 2,000 followers. It ain't like I got 20,000 people that.
Yeah. it's the impact, right? That's what I tell people a lot of time. You can have millions of followers, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter if you say so. People are looking for the opportunity to expose people at any given moment, any given time, over something that was said 10 years ago, over something that was said 10 minutes ago.
Five weeks ago, it don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
People are so weird, man. I just kind of like, I'm throwing my hands up with a lot of this stuff, but.
Let's give it some context. So Sam went to Miami for the Jackson State Florida A&M football game for the Orange Blossom Classic, which, you know, seeing the pictures, I was low-key jealous that I wasn't there as well. I had a great time in New Orleans. Don't get it twisted. But, You know, seeing some of my friends down there, I was like, oh, look at everybody, right? And then I saw some of your footage from, you know, at the game, some of your analysis, things of that nature. And I think, you know, of course, previously, you know, before our current head coach, Mike Norvell, even before Willie Taggart, there were opinions about Jimbo that you would tweet and share. There were opinions about Willie Taggart that you would tweet and share. But for some reason, when you are at a Jackson State Florida A&M football game and you mention anything Florida State related, especially when it comes to Norvell, it's like they immediately go right to your tweets, search them, and try to find something.
It's weird.
And then they say, oh, you thought Norvell is going to lose. And you're like, well, bro, they're playing in like a couple of hours. Like, I got LSU winning. I said it on multiple platforms and tweets and podcasts. I told you LSU was going to win. The game hasn't even started, and you're in my mentions, right?
Yes. I said Florida State was going to win the LSU game.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you said Florida State was going to win. My bad.
Which I had been on a hard line of FSU winning that game back in the summer, which is that's the crazy thing about it. So I kind of thought FSU was going to win the game. They played about how I thought it would, you know, I thought LSU would have their problem, fumble snaps and miscues, you know, like a new team with a new coach and a new players everywhere. They would have problems and issues. So they did. And okay. I went to the Jacksonville State game. And the main reason I went to the Jacksonville State game is because somebody told me, you know, that I don't support HBCUs the way I should, the way I support PWIs. And I was like, yeah, that's a great point. You know, so, you know, going to Jacksonville State game gave me an opportunity to pay for a ticket at HBCU game, which I've never been to HBCU game. So
yeah, because really that's how they make their money, right? They have the different classics, which drives attendance for ticket sales, performances, things like that. And that money goes back to the schools to be invested into scholarships and different athletic programs. Yeah.
So I thought it was a good opportunity to go down to Miami, a nice little trip, go to Miami, support HBCUs, pay for a ticket, pay for two, because I took my uncle with me. He wanted to go. We both went together. It was fun. Mm-hmm, and, you know, and I was just giving, like, some little commentaries. I'm watching the game, and it just triggered people. And I'm just like, touch some grass, man.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, let's get into reality for a moment, right?
I go to one or two FSU games a season.
Yeah, I mean, and I, even the spring game as well. You can come out and get a good preview, and it's like it's never going to be enough, right? I think ultimately, you know, the biggest thing that happens, even the guys who are, you know, dark side Knowles, right, who, you know, tend to have a different view of the program or the trajectory of the current program.
Right.
In the group chat, they'll, you know, share certain things. But it's like soon as Florida State wins, they go and pull all of those tweets and be like, you said Norvell couldn't do this, or you said Norvell wasn't going to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. Like, he's supposed to win.
That's
what he's hired to do. He's supposed to win.
It's a long season.
And even on top of that, they're just looking for a way, again, like we shared earlier, to call you out or, to say that you're wrong. But I love the fact that you support HBCUs. I love the fact that, of course, you're supporting a Florida program as well as an up-and-coming program, a perennial program like Jackson State. I was hoping for a better outcome.
Wow.
I didn't have a dog in a fight, but I thought it was going to be closer than what it was. And Jackson State literally came out there and completely
annihilated
them.
They looked so professional, like the way they go about their business. I mean, other than the fourth quarter when they just kind of like, all right, let's go do player interviews and put on our gold chains and stuff. But
yeah, before the end, they was on the sidelines in glasses and before the fourth quarter was even done. Isn't that crazy?
But before then, though, they was very professional, like very detailed. Deion, the coaching staff he got a really good coaching staff, man. They do a really good job. And I just thought I thought Shador really was, like, I thought he was bad last year, not that good. You know, I thought might have been a little nepotism going on last year there.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, I put like a steam in there out there. Yeah, he's different.
Right.
I mean,
that's what we're looking for, though, right? We're looking for a progression. Yeah. We're looking for improvement. We're looking for, you know, the stats should improve because your IQ should be higher. Your awareness, your intelligence, you know, your ability to read the field, to read the defense, right? That should be queued up a little bit more, which, again, we encourage. We love to see it. I think it's going to be an interesting year in HBCU ball because Jackson State has a target on them, and they're the ones who you got to beat.
Yeah, you got to beat them, and they're going to be – I got to be honest, they're going to be tough, man. They and I kind of felt bad for FAMU because those kids – it's some stuff before the game that kind of let you know they really don't like the president right now. You know, they really – they're not in a good mental place to go out and fight for what's in front of them. And I kind of felt bad for the Coach Willie and some of the players. It's a lot of misalignment going on there. And, you know, I'm hoping all that stuff gets worked out because I think Willie Simmons is a good coach. And I think he's building a good program, you know, but – the administration got to come up and do what's right for those kids, man. You're getting donations. You're getting big donations. You got big apparel deals you're signing. Do what's right for the kids, man. You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of other moving parts because that's what I tweeted. I was like, y'all worried about this thick-ass girl taking graduation pictures. And I'm not minimizing it and not saying that she's right. But there was so much energy towards this one individual for an act that, you know, shouldn't have happened, which is embarrassing for the school. I get it. I understand. But all that energy that was directed towards her from, you know, alumni, towards it from administrators and all these other different things, there are so many other things that are happening on campus that I would love for them to address because Florida A&M is a wonderful institution of higher learning. I will never doubt that. That will never be something that's debatable. It is what it is. Right. But there's just a lot of other moving parts there that these kids are asking for, that they're demanding, that I think the administration has to take a look at. And one way is to do that is through the athletic program, right? So the football players are like, hey, we need these things addressed and fixed for us to go out on this field and to uphold our end of this bargain, right? There's a contract. Yeah. You're supposed to be upheld to this standard. I'm supposed to be held to this standard. You're not meeting me there, right?
Right. And then you see players get hurt. You know, you go play a money game. You play a money game with UNC. Some of your friends get hurt, tear their knees up. Mm-hmm. You know, it, it just kind of like they just gotta fix that stuff, man. FAMU, it's no excuse for that stuff, man. They need to get that stuff.
No,
fixed.
And I am hoping that they get to turn it around. They're 0-2. You know, mm-hmm. that's tough to bite. So I'm hoping that, you know, they catch their stride and they're able to improve, and we'll I'm sure we'll hear from them right once it gets to the end of the year for the Florida Classic. That's going to be a big one, of course.
I think I might try to make a classic. I've never been to a classic.
Well, you just went to one. You went to the Orange Blossom Classic.
Well, that's, I know, but I want to make the Bethune and FAMU Classic.
You want to go to the Orange Classic, right? That's what it's called, I believe. But anyway, or the Florida Classic, not the Orange. Forgive me.
But what about you? Big game. Big game. Big win.
Yeah, so I was in New Orleans. So I think this makes the third weekend in a row that I've celebrated my birthday. literally got to New Orleans on Saturday, and once I landed on Saturday, it took off. I was very encouraged, very happy at the way Florida State traveled, even seeing some of the footage on Friday and all the people who got into New Orleans, seeing them all on Bourbon Street. When I flew out on Saturday, my flight was full of Knowles. Got there, was able to hit up a couple of spots that they had in the city. Felt like a mini, you know, college reunion. Then that Sunday, got up and did brunch with my extended family with the Deloaches and hung out with them on Bourbon for a little bit. Made it to my homeboy, Big Game James, tailgate. Tailgate was phenomenal, even in the rain. The rain hit, so I was a little late getting out there. But when I got out there, there was plenty of food left, good music, plenty of beverages. The vibes were there. I mean, James's tailgate went so hard that LSU people came over and started like literally vibing with us because they just really enjoyed what we had going on. Then on top of that, got to meet some of my extended Twitter fam.
That's what's up.
Got to connect with a lot of people. And I'm going to put this out there, guys. Like, I don't want to call anyone out specifically, so I'm just going to make this very general. I am a normal person. I am a regular person. Right. I am Nikki. Please, if you see me, come say hey. Come dap me up. Come hug me. Like, I am not that person who will shun you away or, you know, be different. I am the same way on social media in real life. So please don't be that person that be like, oh, my God, I saw you there in my DMs when you had an opportunity to come and say hello. Because right, I really feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, let's not be weird, right? Let's not be weird. but I got to, you know, hang out with a whole bunch
they
of people.
They probably was astonished by the beauty, though, Nikki. It's very possible.
Don't start.
It's very don't possible. Start. They could have been. Don't, it could have. Because you know, the first time I ever seen you, it was like this orange glow around you that I was like, that's different.
I had somebody pay for lighting. They just walked around with me for lighting.
Yeah, the Beyonce effect.
So you know, tailgated, made our way to the game. Seats were so good. Again, shout out to the homie James. Seats were so good that I was on TV a couple of times. Like, I've gotten a couple of screenshots where people saw me on TV because, you know, it's the blonde hair. It's literally the black hoodie and the blonde hair, so they saw it.
That's what it is.
So that was kind of cool. I will tell you that my stomach dropped to my ass a couple of times because I thought that we were going to win this handily. Felt like the offense moved really well. Felt like Jordan Travis felt in command. He felt comfortable. I really liked how Norvell and Atkins were able to find their flow a little bit, right?
They had a great plan for Saturday.
There's a couple of times where I felt like they were playing with fire and trying to give the game away. There's no need for all this suspense. Let's just put them away. We don't need these close nail biters. Yeah. But Florida State was in the Caesar Superdome heavy. Right. Like, it felt like a true home game. And, you know, the second half was pretty decent. The fourth quarter is what really sent me over the top. But we walked out of there with a victory off of a blocked extra point. You know, like I was sharing with you earlier, and let me know that I need to brush up on my rules and skills for college football, because there were two things that I was not aware of. And I was glad that I was not on my own, but One of them was, you know, that you can't return the ball for a score after a muff punt. I did not know that. So when that happened,
like a dumbass rule, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like a dumbass rule? Because you know, right? you can't recover. If you recover an onside kick, you can't advance it either. Did you know that?
You can't. Right. I did know that. I did not know about the muffed punt though.
And which is just weird to me.
I don't understand the reality of. I don't understand the reasoning. Not the reality. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. I don't get it. But you know, that's one rule. The other rule was when the tight end caught the ball and got down to like the 2, and he was inbounds, and it left like a second on the clock. Right. And it's like, okay, it's a first down, so of course you have to move the ball, spot the ball. But you know, the clock, as soon as the ball is down, the clock runs, which means LSU shouldn't even have time to run a play.
Right. Right. Which is, so that play, if you remember this, you can't spike under 3 seconds. So if you remember when they played Miami, he tried to spike the football. Remember?
Yep. So yep. And it ran it out.
To me, that's kind of crazy too, but I understand it because you got to move the chains.
Yeah, and I think there was don't quote me on this because I have not rewatched the game, because you know when you watch it on TV, you catch more things on the TV than you will live, right?
Right.
But from where I was sitting, from what it looked like to me, is that I think we called a timeout, and based on that timeout, it gave them the opportunity to run another play. Do not quote me on that, but that was my low end analysis and digestion of what happened. And that's why they were able to run that extra play. But then I was like, but they also had a review. So did we call the timeout? Like, I don't know how all of this works. So that's why I have to rewatch it. But I was just so confused that they got to run a play. Cause if you're saying that he's down, he's in bounds, then you should down the ball, clock runs out. LSU doesn't have time to even snap it. And then of course they score. Right, LSU scores.
To drive the ball 98
because they fumbled on the 2. It was 98 yards.
I just you know, that defensive coordinator, man. Good God, man.
Man. I cannot wait to jump on the Listen Up Pod. I know the Listen Up Pod just came out today. Today's Tuesday, September 6th. But I know the Listen Up Pod just came out today, so I have not had a chance to listen to you and B go over the deep analytics. But you know, to walk out of there with a win
was big. It was big.
It was good.
Felt like a better team the whole game. Felt like the better team the whole game. We're a situational mess at times, but. Mike Norvell is not
good at situational football, right? He's not. And we know this is not a surprise to us, but you know, I would say leaving the game, even celebrating, we tore up Bourbon and Canal. I had a 6 a.m. flight Monday morning, so I did not sleep. So we left the game, went out, had a ball, had a blast. And it felt good. Like I was able to watch ESPN on a after game day. Good to be able to watch it and not cringe or to not, you know, get sick to my stomach. But I say, New Orleans was a blast, had a great time. I still am getting text messages, pictures, different things from the weekend that I did not know were even taken. But everybody had a good time. I cannot wait to do this again in Orlando.
I had a request.
Football did not disappoint me.
I had a request. Somebody saw Doc's bodysuit and was like, can you order that bodysuit for me?
Look, let me tell you, so many messages about E. And it's funny because, you know, she my girl, so of course
LeBron and Kyrie, whenever y'all link.
So of course we're sharing like messages and texts and be like, look what this was said, look what that was said. But needless to say, you know, overall it was a great weekend. Had a great time. Looking forward to, you know, the rest of the season and pushing this momentum forward. So I know we got a bye week, and then the following Saturday, we play Louisville in Kentucky, which is always a tricky game. So I'm hoping that, you know, we show up and show out, because as the season goes on, right? Yeah. The teams get better. You work out the mechanics. You get, you know, your everything it gets smoother, right?
The March of Seven is on, Nikki. The March of Seven is on.
So, you know, Ohio State won big. Ohio State won big, you know.
So now we're at that. We're not a part of the show. We're going to have our takeaways from college football this week. So I'm going to let you start with your team. Go ahead.
All right. So Ohio State came away with a victory over Notre Dame. I will say that the Notre Dame team did not disappoint. I think Marcus Freeman has a good team to work with. He has a lot of good things that are happening for him. I think Ryan Day, they started out a little slow for Ohio State, but then I have to remember this is the first game for both of these teams, right?
Right.
So again, you got to get all of these things out, get all of the different kinks rolling and things of that nature. But I was very impressed that they were able to, you know, pull it together. I think ultimately there's going to be some questions around Ohio State's defense, which I think you brought up as well.
They looked good Saturday.
They did. But remember, Notre Dame had a slow start. Every team is not going to be like that, right? Yeah. They need to get out, strike early, and be able to get some three and outs. And it took them a little while to get there. Because if I recall, Notre Dame scored first, which started the back and forth, and then it just became like this defensive juggernaut, if you want to call it that. Yeah. Clemson beat Georgia Tech. I don't think that was a surprise. I think DJ knows that Klubnik is on his butt, so he has to perform.
That's going to be a weird situation there. I know people want to put this on DJ. And I get it. He's the villain for Twitter right now, Twitter sports fans. I think it's a very strong possibility that Dabo in that playbook is just outdated. And that shit just – and I think that's the reason why him and Tony was at odds most of last season, you know what I'm saying, with the things they want to do. And I think that's why Tony took that job in Virginia, because he was in no rush before to take a job. He was in no rush. And all of a sudden, he just became like looking at every job. He was literally up for every interview the last 2 years. And I think he was like,
if it's the job, put me on it. Give me any seat.
Yeah, and I just think he got to a point where he just got tired of Dabo trying to. And if you seen last night, Dabo's trying to call plays again. And anytime he's calling plays, the offense looks terrible. I mean, it's easy to hate DJ, and I get it. And I think the other guy's going to be good. He probably fits the offense better, too.
Okay, there you go. I think he actually fits what Dabo really wants. I'm not DJ's not good. I think DJ's good. He's going to be better than he was last year. Right. But I think ultimately from what Dabo wants from an execution standpoint is going to be Klubnik and not necessarily DJ. I would not be surprised if DJ transfers. Kind of another Kelly Bryant situation, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of that history repeats itself.
He might. I think somebody put out DJ, the next quarterback of Oregon 2024, which that was a disaster. That's the disaster we thought it was going to be.
That's a bar, because you know that's happening, right?
because you know
that's happening. Speaking of Oregon, right? Oregon basically decided to shit the bed. Georgia's good. There's no mistaking it. Georgia's good.
I mean, Nick, they are good. They are good. I'm not gonna say they're not good, but that was a throttling. That was like backwoods, woodshed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're gonna be right about that. That situation's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. He's gonna be changing the offensive staff out. I think Landon is a good enough defensive guy that I think he can get that defense fixed. And I find it very surprising that Georgia moved up and down the field on them. Surprised me more everywhere. Than anything.
They could get anything they want. They made Stett look like primetime Peyton. Like, Stett, future accountant at Ernst & Young, literally was out there. He was out there looking like a true Heisman candidate. Like, you know, Oregon just really – Landon's going to have to figure it out. And I don't know how soon he's going to do that, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
I think they're going to give him time, but they're not going to be patient with those other coaches on that staff. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be patient with those guys. So we're going to see. It just feels like a disaster waiting to happen, because I think you're going to get beat by Utah again. I think USC is going to beat you, right? Because Lincoln Riley's going to have a good offense, man. He's going to score points.
The fighting Lincoln Riley's, they put up, what, 66?
Yeah. 66? So if you're going to be third place in the Pac-12 this year, that's not going to be – Oregon's not going to be happy with that. They're not going to be happy about that.
And the Pac-12 is already on its way to being dissolved, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of where we are with it. Oklahoma did pretty well. I was kind of impressed. I did catch some of that game. I will say that I was, now again, this is week one, right? So there's quite a few cupcakes,
yeah.
But just seeing kind of like, okay, I see where this is going, Brent. I see where you're basically making the magic happen, but I can also see where it's going to get derailed, right? Because these are things you're going to be able to do now moving further into the season. These things are going to get exposed, and how you adjust is going to be crucial and key. What were some of your highlights over the weekend?
Bama's gonna roll. Like, I think they're gonna roll. Ohio State is a lot better on defense than I thought they was gonna be this early. I thought they was kind of maturing to a better defensive team late. Those wide receivers do got to get healthy though. They're not healthy yet. They got to get healthy at wide receiver, because I mean, they're not five.
They just lost one. What's the kid's name?
The Smith kid, the Noonbay.
Yeah, I think he rolled. Did he roll his ankle? It was something kind of twitchy that happened, and he wasn't able to stay in the game because he couldn't even run.
My biggest takeaway though, Nikki, I have to get past Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia. I want to see what USC first. I want to see what USC. But man, after that, Nikki, all these teams go from there all the way down to the next 45 teams. They're all the same. It's not some clear division of this is a top 10 team that can only be beat by a top five team. Like, no, that, like, from five to like 45, all teams are gonna be in games with each other and probably beat each other one score. Like, they're not that much different.
No, because I want to make you laugh, because Notre Dame is still ranked. Notre Dame is still ranked, and they are 0-1.
Yeah, but I mean, right? if you put Notre Dame,
let's keep going. Go, let's keep going. Utah got beat by Florida, and they are ranked. Utah is 13. Like, you know, you got teams that haven't even won a game that are in the top 25, and you're trying to tell me that this is a legitimate lit. Like,
they need to start ranking.
Alabama's number one. Georgia's two. These are the new rankings. Ohio State is three. So Georgia jumped Ohio State because Ohio State was two. Right. Now they're three. Michigan is four, right? So you're basically saying from Michigan to Clemson, to Texas A&M, Oklahoma, like there's really no big.
I don't think so. I don't think they're that different. No, I don't think. I think if you put them on neutral field, I think if you put Michigan versus Pitt on a neutral field, I think it's a 5-point game either way.
Now that Pitt West Virginia game was good too.
That was good. I was watching Pitt. I was like, I thought, damn, Pitt really got a good defense. Like, their defensive line, that's a big defensive line. That's a good secondary. They got a really good defense. Their offense can score a little bit. They run the ball. They pretty tough, you know.
They look pretty balanced, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching them games. I was just thinking to myself, like, man, these teams just don't look that different from each other. Like, just going down the list of teams.
There's no real outlier outside of the top three.
And, like, I know how people was kind of shitting on LSU after Florida State beat LSU. And I was like, well, I didn't personally think LSU was that – well, they was bad because it was their first game. They got a lot of moving parts. But I think in 3 weeks, the LSU team probably would beat three or four SEC teams that we don't think they would beat right now as we sit here right now.
I think they got two cupcakes coming up. Yeah. Which should probably give them some more confidence, but I don't know if Brian Kelly's going to say something again where he throws his staff or his players under the bus because
I talked about that too, and I just think people like to pile on the losing coach because they ask these coaches questions. I be trying to figure out what do they want the coach to say.
What Brian Kelly's saying, Brian Kelly is saying exactly what the reporters want them to say, which is why they're asking those questions, because there's no reason to ask him about neighbors. Like, this kid muffed two punts, right? And then
what you want me to do? I gotta evaluate the situation.
And he's like, you evaluate a kid for 4 weeks and da 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 da. And then you basically throw him under the bus. And it's like, okay, yes, we understand the severity of his mistakes. But as a player, why would I want to come back and play for that coach? You just basically, I am very good on praise in public.
Yeah.
Punish in private.
Right.
Right. Like out there, you need to go out there and say, our focus is still on winning this division and da 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 da. Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, even his halftime speech, when I saw that clip where he was like, we can't get any worse. I don't know. This is my first game. I was like, what? What? What are you saying? Right. Well,
see, I think with Kelly, and this is the thing with these coaches and stuff. And I think sometimes I think seeing how the sausage is made would disturb people, I think, at times. And I think that's what.
Too much access. You're seeing too much of everything. Yeah.
It's too much access. People want to see all this stuff. Then they want to complain about it when they see it. I think Brian Kelly took over a team that lost a lot of games last year, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to figure out, who can I win with? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to buy in? Who he's evaluating his roster, because next year is the year he's going to make his big jump. He know he's not finna win a whole lot of damn games this year. His whole thing is evaluating this year. This year, because it's the only year he's guaranteed to have. So I got this year. I'm going to roll into next year. If I ain't got this roster where I needed it by next year, winning 10 to 11 games, my ass is going to be on a hot seat and in the jackpot by year three, right?
That's it.
So I think that a lot of time with these reporters, and I get it, we got to have 50 million reporters and 100 podcasts talking about the teams, and I'm a part of the problem too. But, you know, I just think sometimes the reporters ask these dumbass questions, and it'd be like, hey, what about neighbors dropping two punts? Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. I didn't ask him to drop the two punts in practice. I didn't ask him to drop him during the game. I thought he looked pretty good. We've been doing this for months and weeks now. And hey, guess what? The lights came on and he dropped punts. That's what he did. And even people was talking about, I was like telling somebody about, we were talking about Jaden Daniels yesterday. And I was like, I thought Jaden Daniels was going to be a lot worse. I thought he was going to give us two interceptions.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. His stat line looks really good. If you go and look at his stats, I think he threw for over 300, right? Because he had two 98-yard drives.
Well, he threw for like 207 yards. It was 207. He ran for like 114.
I had him down at 300. I thought I had him down at 300.
That was his total yards. That was his total yards for the game.
Total yards, including his rushing. Okay.
Right. So okay, I will tell us. I put that on the timeline, and for some apparent reason, that just triggered everybody to say Jaden Daniels and Jordan Travis' stat line was damn near identical. That just triggered a whole Twitter, but that's a whole other thing.
Now, I will tell you, Jordan played better, but time of possession works in our favor, right? We had the ball longer. We had it more. So
he looked more in control.
It's going to be skewed. If you're going off stats alone, it looks even, right?
Right.
Hell, if you want to score, we only won by 1 point, right? It looks even. But I will say that I got to see Jaden last year at ASU.
He was terrible.
And he only had his running back, Rashad White, and he had his tight end, Wilson, who's now with us at Florida State, right?
Right.
So ultimately, Jaden didn't have a lot of weapons there, so he had to run. Edwards didn't really help him out there. Now, at LSU, you have more weapons, right? But even Butte was, you know, no, I can't even say he was clamped. I'm going to say didn't have him clamped, right? I think he was 2 for 20. I think the frustration was there, things like that. But Jaden is not accurate when it counts, right? You can have the best stat line, but if I need two plays to get me 50 yards,
right?
Which he did on those two drives, right?
My point was
not going to be that person.
Well, my point was, when you watch the game, he did a lot of escaping traffic because they was terrorizing the offensive line. Florida State defensive line was bullying that offensive line. And he did a good job escaping the pocket, getting 10 yards, keeping drives alive. In my opinion, he kept them in the game probably when they should have been getting blowed out. And at the end, those last two drives, even though our defensive coordinator is an idiot, I thought he did a good job handling himself those last two drives.
He did.
To give them a chance to win the game. I was pleasantly surprised by how good he played under all the pressure and the dirt that he dealt with the whole game. And I think so with Jaden Daniels, and I thought, you know, I don't think he's a good quarterback. I never have thought that, but he didn't look too bad to me. I was like, well, you know, they got something to build off of over there with him. I ain't saying they're gonna be great. I ain't saying they're gonna be great, but I'm just saying he got something there that they might find a way to win seven games. Yeah, you might find a way to win seven games, a couple games you don't think you're gonna win. And I think the frustration, people talking about they was all frustrated with Jaden Daniels and all this other shit. And I told somebody, I said, you don't know what the frustration is. The frustration could have been
It was confirmed it was Jaden.
Well, I think the offensive line's not blocking well enough, so he's seeing goals.
And then remember one of their big guys got hurt celebrating, right?
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of frustration when you got things going, all this stuff is going wrong all at the wrong time, and you're on national television, you want to have a good show. It's frustrating.
I agree. But, at this point,
But we will say Let's say this, though. I think the college football season is actually going to be really good because I think once you get past the top three teams, or top maybe four, maybe another team will slide in number four. I do think all these games on Saturdays are going to be competitive as hell once they get in conference.
Yeah.
I think all these games are going to be competitive.
The harder that conference schedule. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Because another thing I'm going to say, the ACC is trash. This is going to be a bad year for the ACC. We're going to have
that UNC game showed a lot. NC State game, Wake Forest, their quarterback just got cleared to come back, medically cleared to come back.
Right.
Happy for that kid, Hartman. I want to say, it's going to be exciting. I am going to be happy that I can actually watch College Game Day and watch the post game because we are five games away.
Yeah,
from a successful season. I'm not gonna stay on football too much longer, but I know we wanted to pivot to another topic because we were scrolling the timeline and we were getting a little agitated, a little annoyed that things are tending to repeat themselves, right? It's deja vu all over again,
right?
But yeah, I wanted to pose a question to you because there was a lot of uproar around this whole Ari Spears Lizzo piece and then this whole Jay-Z capitalist entrepreneurship mindset on that Clubhouse Spaces, which amazes me that people are still on Clubhouse.
It's like MySpace. You just go over there and see what's going on over there.
Right. Yeah, with all this social media content and all the things that we're seeing here, like do we feel like we're getting the true essence of who people are, or are we getting are we understanding the point, or are we removing nuance and understanding from all types of
nuance is completely gone when it comes to social media. And
yeah, it's either black or white. There's no in between.
And if you gotta be in the group, you gotta group think like hell. You gotta group think with everybody, right? You can't so it's I'm starting to realize that too. And I don't know if I said on the show earlier that I said when we was talking earlier, but I've realized that I'm actually gonna have to really start being more responsible with how I tweet or what I tweet about, because people really give a damn about that shit. And I find that to be so hilarious at times. You know what I'm saying? Find that to be like, cause I've just never, I don't know. I guess I've never been the type of person that's like, I need haters, or I believe I got a hater, or, oh, they hating on me, or this, cause I don't really operate in a negative flow space. Of high space. Yeah, I don't like to operate like that. I don't like to operate in the, I got to prove everybody wrong. I just don't like doing that. I don't like that. But I do realize that people, man, they can't wait to find something they agree with you about and to paint you into a picture. You just
into basically pigeonhole you into a certain type of person or individual, and I'll even say that it hit me this weekend where I posted a video for game day, and it's literally me in the bathroom with my Florida State shirt on, and I just posted it. And people were like, oh my god, this looks pretty, or go Florida State, boom boom boom. Then the men decided to tweet me, oh my god, that is a shit ton of makeup, or why are you wearing
the fuck is wrong
so much
people?
Makeup like the tweets and the DMs were crazy, okay? And I'm like, you don't know me, number one. Number two, just know that I get love with or without makeup. I think the majority of the pods we've done, I haven't worn makeup.
No, you know, people still love
them. Funny. It's also funny that the one or two times I have worn makeup, those are the most watched. That's what's up.
I do a great job of branding on those.
But I say that to say that, you know, when my girlfriends even say, you know, they see the tweets about, oh my God, I've never been on a $200 date. And I was like, but have you been on good dates before? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, so what does it matter? Right. Like the whole thing around, you know, us needing to now boycott Jay-Z because he said something around capitalism that doesn't line up with his lyrics. And I was like, he's a rapper. Like, I'm not taking every rapper's lyrics to be 100% true, right? So if you say one thing in a song, but you come into a space and start speaking about other things, I'm going to listen to both of them, right? But I'm only going to hold it to a grain of salt because I know that one is for entertainment and one is how you really feel, right? I also feel that, you know, Twitter is just a small space of people who come and share their ideas. Yeah. It's not necessarily reality for everyone. Like, the whole conversation now is around, you know, people stating their preferences and women are trying to convince them why they should go outside of their preference when you can easily just go to somebody who like you for you. Like, I'm not going to sit up here and try to convince anybody that, hey, this is why you should date me, right? If you can't figure that out on your own, there's nothing I can say that's going to sway or pivot your decision. But people are so dead set on saying, oh, you got to think outside of the box. And it's like, yeah, you do. You do. You can't be black and white about everything. But also, if I'm stating my preference is XYZ, and if that's rooted in a place of, you know, my experiences, then that's what I'm going off of. But also, people are misogynists. People can be feminists. People are limited to their experiences. So some people may have not had the same experiences as you, Sam, or as myself. So they're only coming from their perspective. But it's so frustrating to hear people get on this app or get into this space of trying to convince people when in reality, there's nothing that can be said or done that's going to move or sway them. And politics, dating, living, traveling, no matter what the topic is.
All of it. Like,
for example, I'll give you a perfect example for New Orleans, right? I traveled to New Orleans on my own specific itinerary. I did not ride with anybody. I did not share a room with anybody. I didn't do any of that. Had the time of my life and still saw all of my friends just like we planned, but I travel a certain way. I'm not going to force the way that I do things onto you, right? You may not see the value in booking this flight or staying at this hotel, and that's fine. Because we can still coexist and still be in a good space, right? Same thing with just life experience, period, right? Like, I have gotten to this place where I have to travel this way. And if that's not your preference, that's fine. I will see you at the destination.
Exactly. These people, but I think it's become weird to me because I guess it's different for me because I don't try to draw a conclusion about somebody based on what I read on social media, right? Like, I know I don't know Jay-Z. I know that. Like, I know that for a fact. I don't know this man. Like, and the fact that he even feel like he has to defend himself, it's kind of weird to me too. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But it's like everybody want to swarm like bees to this group thing mentality when it's like people not even living like this. Like I told somebody the other day ago, I was like, man, I don't even brag on money or how much money I make or how much money I do or whatever, this and that. But it's like, y'all be acting like not having this, not going on a vacation here, not doing this, mean that person not having a good life or living the life they want to live. Some people don't desire to do the shit that you consider being a baller or being doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's just different. Some people rather have a nice laid out house that they come home and barbecue every weekend. And that's perfectly okay for them.
And luxury is what you make it, right? Yeah. Me and my girlfriend Joe talk about this all the time. My version of luxury happens to be a lot like her version and her vision. But at the same token, there are still things that we do separately that we find to be luxurious to us, right?
Right.
Same thing for other people. My vacation doesn't have to be your vacation, or my life experience doesn't have to be yours. But again, I think what we learn about social media is that you're not ever going to get people to agree with you 100%. There's always going to be contrarians and detractors to whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying.
Yeah. And you just, and I think I've gotten to this place where I take steps back off of certain things. Like I'd be like, oh, I tweeted this. I know what I meant when I said it. Now it's being taken like this. And I'm not finna go bar for bar, line for line all day okay, long. Soldier boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, God damn, dude. Like, okay, bro, you think I'm wrong. Okay. You stated it out. You feel like I'm wrong. All right. I'm done with that. Like, everything is just, it's
like, you go be great. Thank you so much for sharing. You will be great. I hope you sleep better tonight knowing that, man, you got this off your chest.
I got a friend. I ain't gonna say we're friends, but we cordial. And his hatred for Deion Sanders, I feel like Deion fucked his wife. Like,
yeah, it's too strong.
It's too strong. Like, I'm like, okay, if you don't want to mess your head coach, I understand that. I get that part. But bro, every time I come around you, I don't want to discuss Deion Sanders. Like, I'm gonna go to the game. I'm gonna say, I hope Jackson State.
He does not want you to go to any Jackson State games. He don't want
I want them to build nice infrastructure there. I want to see more TV money coming to the SWAC. I think that'd be a good thing for the SWAC altogether, is to get, if Jackson State is really good, that's going to bring more TV, more revenue into the SWAC. I think that's a net positive, no matter if Deion fucked lady. And I don't think it matters. You know what I'm saying? But this dude is so dead set on this, it's like it's burning him. And I'm like, what's going on? What am I missing?
Bro, that's how I feel like some people are with everything, right? Like, they're so passionate and so against
the Kamala Harris conversation.
I don't get it. I'm like, bro, I do not get it. I do not.
Man, it's some stuff I just don't be understanding, man. So, you know, but what I will tell people is, man, social media is, if you're not on there to do two things, to me, you should be on social media to do two things. To escape and have fun, or to get informed about something. I think you can get informed. You get breaking news on social media. I think it's some good history stuff that people put out that you can research and look up. I think it's some really good information. You can learn things about credit, bill. You know, it's a lot of things you can learn on social media.
Yeah,
you got a lot of information.
But I think it also, you have to do more research. Gone are the days where you can read the headline and be able to gather information. You actually have to now do work to verify if these things are real or not, because it's just crazy. But you know, this is the world we live in. So, you know, keep TikToking away, kids. Before we get out of here though, one segment I did want to bring up is what are we watching? What are we watching? We know that we're getting in college football, so it's not watching She-Hulk?
Are you watching She-Hulk? Man, that didn't show up on there.
No. But neither. I got this cool clip where they're like, who's your best friend? And she's like, Nikki. So I got that clip and I want to post it so bad. But that episode hasn't aired yet. Okay. You said you haven't watched it yet. The one thing I do want to watch is this Hunk for Jesus movie with Sterling K. Brown and Regina Hall. I want to watch that. I think it's on Peacock, if I'm not mistaken.
I love her so much.
I know. Love her. She's 51 years old. She looks amazing.
I love her so much. I've always loved her. I just want her to come save me. Start a movement. Start a movement, everybody. Come say it, More Like One.
So this movie was apparently marketed as a comedy, but apparently it's a dark comedy. So all the church people have been going to see it or streaming it, expecting it to be Tyler Perry adjacent.
Yeah.
And it has been a dark comedy, completely dark comedy. So long story short, that makes me want to watch it more. Because I'm like, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
I also watched this really crazy, I guess it's a miniseries on Netflix called Echoes, about this woman who's a twin, and her twin alternate their lives every birthday. And it is confusing. It is crazy. It is messy. And I am like two episodes. Like, I have to go back and watch the last two episodes. I felt like I missed something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're identical twins, and every year they swap lives, like husbands, families, everything.
Oh, wow.
every birthday they download each other, like, oh, the girl child does this now and husband likes this for dinner, and they swap, and someone ends up getting killed, and the rest of the plot is trying to figure out who did it, which twin did it. So yeah, that one was crazy.
I know what I'm watching.
What are you watching?
House of Dragons.
Yes. So I will tell you that, you know, I am not a Game of Thrones girl. I watched it, but I was not in love with it like everybody else. So I did get through the original series, right? So I can speak to it from that, but like House of Dragons, I'm not doing it. I may do it, you know, like once it's over, right? Because that's what I did with Game of Thrones. I didn't watch Game of Thrones until it actually ended its final season.
It's the only thing I do hate about the show is like, God, man, the incest. Jesus Christ, people.
I mean, it's real though, right?
I know, but Jesus Christ, man, just give me a break. 12-year-olds betrothed to their 45, 60-year-old uncles, and I just, good God, man, just.
It's a lot happening, which still impacts people to this day. Think about it. To this day, it still impacts people. Like, that's why, you know, you probably didn't experience it that much, but, you know, there were times where they'd be like, okay, go put on some clothes, your uncle here. Like, don't come out that room unless da-da-da-da-da-da because so-and-so here. Like, because, you know, it's just some people who literally are still on that.
It's some dark stuff, man. But, man,
what else are you watching? Oh, you know what else? Okay, guys, I'm so sorry. I know I'm really taking over this part, but Rap Shit by Issa Rae is good. It's so good. The season finale aired on Thursday, this past Thursday. And it's basically about two girls. They grew up in high school together down in South Florida, in Miami to be specific, Carroll City to be specific. It's loosely based on the City Girls with Carisha and JT. Young Miami, I think you guys know her as. It's loosely based on them. They're actually EPs on the show. Kid Fury, if you listen to the read or watch any of the videos and things on YouTube with him and Crystal, Kid Fury is one of the, he's not only a writer on the show, he's also an actor on the show, but it's so good because it's authentic to Miami. There's scamming, there's Haitians, there's Jamaicans, there's rappers, there's scam, like, I mean, everything that you would want to make it feel authentic, it's definitely that. Again, 30-minute episodes. I don't know why Issa does this to us when we want hour-long episodes. A good watch. It's a quick watch. And I think it's really entertaining because you'll see how we do it in the South, how we do it in 305.
Yeah. So I might have to check out Rap Shit. It's Rap Shit.
Rap Shit on HBO Max.
HBO. They never miss. Love those people over there.
Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna do it because, you know, they got rid of all their original content. I mean,
some of the stuff needed to go, Nikki. I know people don't want to have a hard conversation. Some people don't want to have a hard conversation.
That leaves the Sex and the City, it's like a reboot of Sex and the City. Like, it got a whole bunch of ratings. It was renewed for season two, but now that's up in the air. Rap Shit, I don't know if there's an official announcement yet, but they're supposed to get a season two. But, you know, from my standpoint, I'm trying to get the Black content up. So, you know, I want to watch Black content creators, you know, and help them thrive because, you know.
I know what I want to ask you, Nikki. Yeah. I did not know. I know we're in a sex craze culture. I know this is what we got going on. Yeah, it's sex craze. It's all about sex.
Okay.
I didn't know that they had horny honey. What is this all about?
The honey packs.
This is like, first I thought it was a joke.
No.
They kind of find out it's real honey out here to get you horny. I'm like,
the honey pack. So most of you guys probably know. Sam say he don't need that type of stuff. He ain't worried about it. But basically it's a sexual enhancement for men that help them to achieve a longer erection or an erection period.
I did not know that was
But apparently a lot of people are now starting to cook with the honey packs. I remember seeing the video of the two women who were sitting in the car pouring the honey packs into their Hennessy bottles and drinking it straight, which absolutely baffled me because, you know, at my big age, I didn't know what it did for women because I was like, maybe it does the same thing for women that it does for men, you know, in a sexual heightened experience, maybe. But then when I started seeing people use it to make their wings and to make their salmon into...
How corner do people need to be?
And why would you want to do this? I think the video today showed somebody doing the honey pack on
a ham.
Honey baked ham. What are we doing?
How much horniness do we need?
What are we doing?
What's wrong with people?
And then I'm like, now we have to go into consent, right? Because if I come over to your house and you say, hey, have some wings, I need to know what you cook them with. But right. This is why I love my mother so much. God bless the dead. My mother used to say, you don't have to eat everywhere. You go.
She's like,
show some discernment. You don't have to eat everywhere you go. Don't eat people food. You don't know how they cook. You don't know how they live. Don't put yourself in a situation that you're going to regret because you're going to end up eating some honey packed wing. And now you're walking around feeling some type of way and don't know why. Because
don't know why. Because
your food.
It's out of control, Nikki. I'm tell you something, Nikki. Hennessy, shrimp, and now these. It's all this stuff all of a sudden. It's tearing the black community apart. We have
And Emmanuel Acho. These things are tearing the black community apart.
It's hitting harder than crack. It's hitting harder than crack right now. It's out of control, man. I don't get it enough.
Maybe it's not for me to get. All these things combined.
How much sex can you actually have in a day, man? You can't have that much sex in a day.
What are the future effects, right? If you're taking this at 20 years old, voluntarily, by the time you're 27, you're going to have to take it involuntarily, right? Like,
yeah.
What's the impact on the body? Like, I don't get it. Ugh. Like, you know, even having to explain things to my kid and being like, hey, you may want to, you know, yeah. I know you trust your friends. I know you hang out with your friends. Yeah. I get it. Still, be careful of what they offer you or what they give you because you don't know what's in it. You don't know what their parents cooked. You don't know how they cooked. You don't know. Like, you don't know any of these things, right?
Trust nothing. Trust nothing for anybody that want to turn up all the time. Trust nothing from them.
I'm like, you don't have to accept everything that's given to you. So I had to go literally... like my mama on my kids. So yeah, I'm literally my mom now. But I say all that to say, please be careful, guys. Please, you don't have to, just because you see it on the internet, you don't have to do these things. Don't go to jail over something you see on TikTok.
Yeah, man. Like...
None of it makes sense, friend. I don't even know what it tastes like. I'm like, does it taste like actual honey? Like,
I don't want
to
know.
Like, I'm trying to understand because I'm like, if you bite into your chicken, do you taste it? If you bite into your salmon, do you taste it?
I'm concerned about my people. I'm concerned about my people.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep them lifted in prayer. We're going to keep them lifted.
Let's do that because this is... I feel like I'm blaming the CIA and the FBI.
This times we live in. I'm blaming the Popeye's chicken sandwich because before that chicken sandwich, life was good.
Life was good before the chicken sandwich. That's true.
Now look at us. Anyway. All right, man. What you got before we get out of here? Anything else before we wrap up?
That is it, Nikki. That is it. Hopefully I can make the next FSU game, meet some of the people. I think I'm going to go to the Wake. Maybe Wake. I don't know. I'm gonna chart my course.
Figure it out.
Maybe we make a great bowl game in Miami somewhere.
Maybe. Now I am definitely going to that Miami game down in Miami.
That'd be awesome.
I will definitely be down there. I'm willing to take my kid out of school for 2 days so we can go down there because football is life.
That's true.
And we're going to that game.
But all right, Nikki, this was awesome. I'm running behind. I got to go pick up Chansey
Yes, yes. Go get my homie, our third co-host on the show.
I'm sick of him trying to be all on the cameras, all on the mics, all on. He only does this when you're on the pod, though. He looks at Brandon, he'd be like, I'm good.
You're just a little jealous of me and Chance. You're jealous of our connection, and I get it. I would be
I don't
too.
Like it. I don't like it. I don't like the way he's moving. I don't like the way he's moving when you on the pod. I don't like that.
It is what it is, man. But thank you so much for jumping on early with me. Give Chance a big hug from me and from our So What, What's Next family. And thank you guys for tuning in for So What, What's Next, where we talk about things that pop up today that we won't care about probably the same day.
Don't trust honey anymore.
I've been wide awake for about a month. Rounded it up, mama done told me money easing. Like, boy, get your ass up. Chewing up, I put in the work. Now, blessings counting up. Look at them haters frowning up. So I flex to rile them up. Hey, look at my boss, bending the cars. Check my flaws, you can ignore. Come to the house, give you a tour. Take your shoes and dirt on my floor. I let it taste. Ooh, good. She want it more, she want it more. I let it rain. The blessings coming in pour. Yeah, I spent the bag on a bundle. Turn around and take a flip of me.